Welcome to Career Tools. This week, the experience conundrum. The questions this cast answers are, how do I get a job when I have no experience? How do I get the experience that I need to get a job? And how do I substitute skills for experience? Sarah, many people have written to us and they say things like, I really want to get a job as something, but I don't have any experience, and everybody wants experience. And I can't get a job till I get experience, and I can't get experience until I get a job. And they're stuck in this kind of conundrum of, how do I get out of this when there only seems to be two options and neither of them work for me? Many of us think back to the beginning of our careers, that it was at the beginning when we had no experience at all that this happens. But it can also happen if you want to change careers later, or if you are being forced to change careers because whatever it was you were doing has disappeared in a blaze of technology. Although we think mostly about young people or people at the beginning of their careers for this problem, it does happen for people who've been in the workforce for some time as well.
Absolutely. So today's outline, we're going to start by talking about, number one, don't fight it. Number two, re-envision your skills. Then take several steps, gain skills on the way, work your network, and hone your interviewing skills.
That's a long outline today.
That's a long outline. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. This is a big problem. You're right. It's a vicious cycle. Right? I need experience, but I can't get experience till I get a job. And the two rely on each other so heavily, sometimes it feels almost like we're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to start with don't fight it, which is a really bad place to start. We don't normally start with a negative, but we want to get this idea out of the way before we move on to the more positive steps that you can take. There is no point in you trying to get a job where a hiring manager is adamant that experience is required. If the hiring manager says you need 2 years experience and you don't have it, and that's a non-negotiable for that hiring manager, you are not going to get that job. And it's a waste of effort to be worrying about it, to be putting yourself forward for it, to investing all the emotion into it, because you're never going to win. And there are hiring managers who are like that. And the best thing to do is not to fight them, because you're wasting energy that you can use on something else. We can't legislate for people who won't see the benefits of hiring you because you don't have whatever length of time it is in experience that they think that is necessary for them to do, for someone to do the job well. Even if you disagree with them, it's just nothing you can do about it. So wasting time and energy in fighting it is just no good for you. And looking for a job can be stressful. Even if you want to move jobs, it's stressful. And fighting hiring managers who have strong opinions, or opinions that you aren't going to change, that you're just adding to stress in a way that you don't need to.
It's just another job that you will add to that list later on when you say, I applied 100 times and only got 5 interviews, right? It's one of those. So if the job ad says that experience is a must-have or it's essential, then you know that not having the experience will cause your resume likely to be rejected, another empty resume that's going nowhere. So just move on to the next opportunity.
Exactly. And now we'll start with the positive stuff.
There we go. So the next piece is re-envision your current skills. You can't change that experience that you've got, right? You're already trapped in this place. I need more experience. You can't go back and build up skills in jobs which you've already left. You definitely can't put fiction on your resume and still be the kind of ethical professional that we support at Manager Tools. However, what you can do is look at the skills and the experience that you've got, and in that moment, find the most convincing way possible to make your case with the hiring manager based on the experience that you do have, the skills you do have.
So for example, let's say you want to get a job in marketing, but none of your jobs have been marketing related until now. One of the things you can do is relook at all of the accomplishments and all of the responsibilities that you've had, and ask yourself what parts of it showed your skills that are similar to skills that are needed in a marketing role. Let's say you've had a succession of admin and retail jobs up till now. So you might have an accomplishment like achieved 75% attendance at company picnic by creating flyers and posters. Well, it's the creation of the flyers and posters that matter for this version of your resume, because creating a flyer or a poster that encourages people to come to an event, that's a kind of marketing thing. It's putting a message out, it's making something sound attractive, and you can measure the result because people came to the picnic. So even though your job wasn't marketing, if you know, maybe you were the CEO's admin and you ended up with that job because nobody else was doing it, it's a marketing skill to be able to do that. So you can describe it that way on your resume. The next one might be created bid binders for $100,000 contract bids to standard. Well, in marketing, one of the things that you have to do is create documents which are attractive to people. You know, if you're creating a sales briefing document, then it has to be right and it has to be pretty, in inverted commas. It has to be attractive. You know, people have to want to read it. So the fact that you've been doing these bid binders before, that is another skill which is similar to ones that you use in marketing. Here's another one. Contributed to 5% year-over-year increase in the grocery department sales by merchandising vegetables. That means I was working in a grocery store and I was organizing the vegetables in the department. You know, how in the supermarket they're all piled up nicely, you know, all of the oranges in this little pyramid, and all of the salad bags are kind of facing forward and puffed up so that they look super attractive and we all want to buy salad. And merchandising, again, is a skill that comes out of marketing. And so if you were making the oranges look good, and because of at least some of your work, there was an increase in sales in that grocery department, that's a marketing-related skill that you can pull out of your resume to show that you at least understand and have a little bit of experience with that kind of work. We'll do one more. Sold 100% of trial cheese product by demonstrating the product and engaging customers. So again, you know, those people in a grocery store where they say, wouldn't you like to try this new product? If you were doing that job, again, selling people on the product, talking to people about the product, convincing them to buy the product, is all sales and marketing. It's all about making the product sound attractive and making it sound worthwhile for the customers to try it.
Mm-hmm. And approaching people, approaching strangers, right? That's a big thing. It's a big skill that's involved in being the trial cheese person.
Exactly. These jobs that you might have had in a grocery store or as an admin, because maybe you were interested in marketing and you ended up with those tasks just because you wanted to do them, or maybe you ended up with those tasks because nobody else was going to do them, you've got a little bit of skills and you can show that on your resume. So when you look at the marketing job and it says marketing admin and there's a bunch of things and then it says experience in marketing 1 year, you might have that if you added up those little things that you've had in various jobs.
Absolutely. We all do marketing all the time. You just have to look for those opportunities. And is this going to be enough? Are these examples going to be enough that aren't really that specific? Perhaps not, but perhaps it will. And it really depends on the role of that hiring manager. Again, right? The accomplishments that you do give, they give evidence of practical marketing experience, right? Those are all examples of practical marketing experience. So you just want to look back at the experience that you've had, whether paid or not. It can be volunteer opportunities, can be things that you did in school as well, if you're recently out of college, and pull out anything that's related to the field that you want to go into. Pull out the accomplishments, and at the top of the list of the accomplishments, write them for that job on your resume and make sure that you include any related accomplishments in your responsibilities as well. And if you need to, you can jettison some unrelated things for space.
Right. So on my resume, I would say the date, the job, the company as the kind of admin text. And then underneath, I would have a paragraph of responsibilities. And if I had anything that was related to the job that I want to get, I would make sure that that was in my responsibilities. And then when I write the accomplishments, I put them in order of how well they fit with the job that I want to go for. So if I had an admin job and I had 6 accomplishments and 2 of them were marketing related and I wanted a job in marketing, those 2 would be the first 2 bullets directly under my responsibilities paragraph.
Bottom line up front.
Exactly.
It's the most important things. In addition, you want to make sure that your cover letter as well also includes the fact that you've had this experience. So, for example, you could write something like, I have the experience that you're looking for. I've been involved in creating marketing materials and in face-to-face marketing of products in a retail store. And that would cover off the posters for the staff picnic, as well as the in-person with the produce and the cheese handing out, things like that.
So you've just built some experience from kind of some random things that you did in the past, but we're starting to create a thread that someone can see of at least an interest and some experience with marketing, as that's the example we're going for.
All right. So the next piece is take several steps. So if you're aiming for a role which you know needs experience and you can't get any until you do the job, then the way to get experience without actually having worked in your role, the role that you're trying to get, is to build up the skills separately within other roles. This way, when you're asked about that experience, your previous experience in such role, you can call on those skills.
So let's use another example. Let's say one day you'd like to be a project manager. However, you're a recent graduate and you have no experience managing projects. Perhaps you would take a role as a project administrator in a project management office, because that will give you exposure to the kind of things that project managers are doing. And if they delegate a few things to you, you'll start to do project manager type activities and have those for your resume. You might only be updating project plans, but you'd be getting experience with the requisite software. You'd be learning about critical paths and the people involved in a project and how it's coordinated and all those skills that project managers have that you want to learn. And if you're really good, you might be given a piece of a project to manage, you know, just one milestone or just one set of tasks. And that's how you start to learn to be a project manager. That's how you start to get experience as a project manager, and you'll be able to write those things onto your resume and support yourself in, maybe not next time, but the time after that, getting a job as a project manager.
Alternately, you can create small projects in a completely different job. So let's say you work in accounts receivable, working with the company's roster of invoices and matching them up to checks that are coming in so that you can then in turn pay those invoices. So whilst your job may be prescribed, right, and very specific, and you have to do it all the exact same way every time, it's really unlikely that there are no ways to improve the system, right? No recommendations that you can make to help improve things. So when you recommend one of these, or your boss asks for volunteers for an additional project, you can volunteer and then in turn gain the project management skills as you go. It was your idea. They'll likely make you the champion of it.
And a project is a project is a project. Every project has certain characteristics. You need a project plan. You need a time so that you know whether or not you're staying on time. You need a budget so you know whether or not you're staying on budget. You have a list of tasks and they have deadlines associated with them. And it doesn't matter if that project, the budget for it is $50 or $500. The skills are similar. At least at the beginning, you know, there's a difference perhaps between a global rollout of something and a $50 project that you might have as an admin. You know, there's a difference in scale, but still, if you're starting at the beginning, you don't have any experience at all, a project is a project is a project.
And taking these small steps is just a way to build up the experience that you need to get the job that you want. However, you do want to be careful. You don't want to have six-year-long jobs on your resume, each of which they've left you to build more and more experience on your resume in a particular role. It looks like job hopping and will negate the experience that you're building up. You need to be strategic in the roles that you're choosing. Why are you choosing them, right? How will they benefit you in the long run? And the steps that you're taking and the speed at which you move, 2 to 4 years is a very rough guide as to how often you can safely change jobs before it looks bad on your resume.
You're right, of course. You don't want to have 3 jobs of 9 months each, and you got a little bit of experience from each one, but it looks like you were job hopping and maybe not settling at a job, and that experience starts to be less powerful because there's another reason for rejecting your resume. It starts to be, it's not about your experience now, it's about whether or not you will stay in a job, and it looks like you're not going to. So there's a really fine balancing act to be done there. Taking small steps is a good strategy towards the job that you want, but you have to be doing it, like Sarah said, you have to be doing it strategically, because it's really easy to end up either taking too long and then looking like you've settled in a career that you don't want, or job hopping and losing effectiveness over your resume because of that.
Not in every case are you going to make it past the resume screening process to an interview where you can actually defend that backup. Does appear how it looks from the outside. The next piece is gain skills on the way. So there are opportunities to pick up skills and experience on any job. Many of the skills that are most prized are the soft skills, things that are universal, right? Things like communication and the ability to get things done on time. Timeliness, really important.
Yes.
Even in more senior jobs where you might want a more wholesale job change, you can build up transferable skills such as managing people in your current career. So there are 2 essentials here. First, you need to pay attention and take up any opportunity that there is. We're often told by managers that they have recalcitrant directs, right, who don't want to take on additional work. If your peers are those people, then you have a stunning advantage. You get to choose the extra work that you take on, and you can choose for it to be the work that builds up to the experience you're looking to get.
Yes. If your peers are the kind of people who don't want to do extra work, you should be happy, because that gives you the opportunity to do a bunch of things that you want to do, that you know are building to something that you want to do in the future. I always loved people like that when I worked in teams. It's like, yeah, you carry on doing that because I look good and I'm not doing anything. You know, like, I don't have to do anything extra, but I look good.
I'll volunteer to do everything.
Exactly.
Give it to me. I'll do it for sure.
Yeah.
It does. It looks good. And you're right. It gives you that experience, that window into things that you wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity to do if you stayed within your lane. Right?
Right.
Sometimes our lane is so rigid that there's not room for that additional duties. Managers are oftentimes looking to pass things down. If you keep your hands open, you can catch them.
One of the things I did when I worked in recruitment, and we were a service organization, we serviced another company, and I was asked to go and work on site with a new team that were coming into our company. They'd been bought and they were coming into our company. And my boss said, hey, will you go and train these people, or at least show them around the systems and stuff? And I was like, I said yes immediately, because I got to be on a new site. I got to meet new people. Those people owed me a favor. As soon as I taught them the system, I had something, I had a favor in my favor bank. And there was lots of reasons to go and do it. There were lots of reasons not to. I had to drive 3 hours to get to the site and 3 hours back again. You know, I still had to do my own work. There were a bunch of reasons I could have thought, no, this is too hard. But doing it gave me really good experience of trying to help people through a system that they don't know. And it gave me a relationship with those people that were only just coming into the organization and had no other relationships. And so it really did me good to do that. And nobody else volunteered. So the fact that I volunteered made me look good.
Absolutely. And when you take on these additional duties, the second piece is that you want to make sure that you track the experience that you do have. Right? Many times when we work with people who want to change jobs, we find that they have a lot of experience, more experience than they think they do. It's just buried in accomplishments, which they haven't compared to the needs of jobs that they want. There's no point in working hard and picking up additional skills, picking up additional duties, doing all of that stuff, if you're not going to be able to use that experience to get the job you want. Those things may not come to mind immediately. When you're thinking, though, of your next job, your next role, so you want to make sure you track those additional things you're doing, because they might not jump out at you firsthand when you're thinking about what did I do in my job, the above and beyond things. And make sure you track those as well.
Yeah, it's really easy to forget the things you've done. Really easy. And so hard to remember if it's a year later or 2 years later or whatever when you want to change jobs.
Oh, nearly impossible. Who has that kind of memory, right? I moved on to the next thing.
Exactly. Yeah. My brain is full.
Doors closed. Yeah, exactly.
Next we have work your network, as if there was going to be any cast about interviewing or job searching that didn't have include your network. All of the guidance we've given you so far is about substituting skills for experience, building up those skills, and maybe not having experience, a year's experience or 2 years or whatever the job description says in the job that they want you to have, but having built up the skills to substitute for that experience. But in order to use this substitution, you have to be able to get to an interview and talk to the hiring manager about how these skills do qualify you to be able to do this job. A lot of the time, if you've built up the skills, but you don't have experience, let's say you wanted a job as a marketing manager, not a manager of people, but a manager of marketing for a certain division or something. And the experience required is 2 years marketing admin, which is 2 years working in a marketing department, essentially. If you submit your resume and it says that you had a different job, let's say you were the CEO's admin, if the person reading the resume just looks at the job title, they'll say you don't have the experience that you need. You weren't a marketing admin. It's not written on your resume, and therefore you don't have the right experience. If you've gone through the process that we've described and you've built up a bunch of skills around marketing, you know that you have those skills and you can substitute them for the experience that's required. But someone just looking at a resume is just going to reject your resume. And so what you want to do is be able to talk to someone, the hiring manager or whoever's putting the resumes forward, and show them, hey, I know it doesn't say marketing admin on my resume, but look, here's the little skills that I've got. Here's the things I've built up, which are relevant. And if your resume is non-standard, you have to be able to talk to someone and explain it and tell them about your enthusiasm for this new role. If you put your resume into an application system, whether it's on the company's website, whether it's through a job search portal, whether it's on Monster, if you just put your resume forward, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be rejected because they're looking for that direct match. If you can talk to someone, that's when you can get around those experience requirements. And if you want to have to talk to someone, you have to use your network.
Right. And in lots of organizations and larger organizations, human resources is doing the initial screening. If hiring managers are getting 100 resumes for an application, they've given HR very strict guidelines. Look for people with only X, Y, and Z as their previous work roles, right? Previous titles. Just that very, very step one could eliminate you from the process altogether because the individual screening may not have the time or may not have the knowledge, the know-how to interpret your job title or your experience and how that might fit into things. So the way to get around that whole application process is the way to get around not being rejected, I guess, in the pre-screening process is if you can find the right hiring manager and have a friend or someone who knows of you that you can put the resume in front of that hiring manager, right? Put a good word in for me. And then you can get to the interview and you have your chance in front of them to explain that you've been building up your experience in different ways, even though your job titles don't necessarily say that at first glance. Another way to do this is to make an internal move instead of an external one. People in your organization already know you. Lots of people know you. You have good relationships, hopefully within the organization, and hopefully you have a network within your community. So having a relationship with a manager who has jobs for which you desire, perhaps even having done a few favors for him, right? That's not going to hurt you, means that you may not need to show your resume to get that interview necessarily. Now, we don't mean here that favors will result in the job necessarily, just that by doing favors and having those good relationships, you're going to have a chance to demonstrate your competence in other ways. Even with that indirect experience, other individuals in the organization can see your leadership skills based on the other things that you do, and you don't necessarily have to have leadership as a bullet point on your resume.
Exactly. Those internal moves are always easier than external moves. It's always harder to sell your experience to a company who don't know you, because there's something about internal people that people always give a little bit more leeway to, just because you're a known quantity, and that counts for a lot. And so even if you don't really want to carry on working for your company, one way to get around this whole experience conundrum is to decide, okay, I'm going to do one more job here, and it's the job that is going to take me to the job I really want. And you get that experience because your company is probably going to give you a bit more leeway than an outside company.
Absolutely, it does.
Last of all, hone your interview skills, because it doesn't matter what's on your resume. Eventually, you're going to have an interview, and you need to be amazing in the interview, because the other candidates will probably have the experience that was actually required in the job description. They will be able to show a one-to-one match with whatever it was the hiring manager is looking for. And so in order to overcome that, you have to be better than good.
Having that experience and getting the interview are only two parts of the puzzle. The final part is having the right skills in the interview to get that job. And you've got to be able to be truthful, right? We don't want you to lie or fabricate things, but we want you to sell the experience that you do have and sell it well. You'll be using the examples of where you've been working on the right skills in your behavioral answers. Right, explain for me a time when you've experienced X, Y, and Z. Put that into play, right? This is where our interviewing series comes in. Okay, we've got an interview series, as many of you know, for how to study, how to get better at delivering those interviews. And you're going to have to be a cut above if you're drawing on other experiences, other situations for those experiences. You're right. You have to be a cut above. You have to have the interview skills that will take you home, will finish it off for you.
Anytime you're a non-standard candidate, if you've got a gap in your resume, if you've been fired, if you took time out to be a parent, all sorts of things make people non-standard candidates. So, yeah, candidates that don't have a kind of linear progression that shows exactly a path to this job. And anytime you're a non-standard candidate, your network comes into play much more, because like we said, you need someone to champion you, and you have to be better at interviewing, because you're trying to overcome the negative of whatever the non-standard piece is in your resume. Like I said, there's lots of circumstances where getting a job is harder than normal, and people do end up in jobs. You know, people get jobs. It might be harder. It might take them a little bit longer. It might mean that they have to work for a lower salary than they might want to for a little while. But people get jobs. Don't be downhearted. Don't think, I'm never going to get this because I don't have the experience. Work to get the skills that add up to the experience you need. Work your network to get in front of a hiring manager so that you can show them, this is what I can do. And once you've done that, and if you do it really well, you'll get the job.
I think every job posting in the world has said that they wanted some amount of experience, and everyone had their first job sometime.
It's a good point. You know, everybody got there. Everybody started on the ladder with no experience.
Right. Lots of times it might be drawing from, you know, I have not had a conflict with a manager, but I had a conflict with a professor in my university or something like that, right? It's kind of the same. It's an organization. You just have to spend the time, invest the time to draw out those experiences, right? From places where they're not quite as obvious. So in summary, getting jobs without experience is harder, but there are lots of circumstances where getting a job is harder than normal, and those people, they get the jobs that they want. So don't let it overwhelm you and work on the skills that you have that add up to the experience you need. Work your network and get in front of that hiring manager.
Perfect. That's the plan. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. Hope that was helpful. We'll see you next week.